All right. Now, we got to talk about this because you might have seen a little stuff on the news.
Mm-hmm.
But this, when you stop and you think about human success as a species, things that we have done that are innovative, where we have applied our ability to think and to reason and to use the principles of the essential math of the universe, and then somehow be able to get off this planet and do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
This is arguably the greatest accomplishment of all times, was the Cassini Project. And I'll explain exactly why. Actually, better Mark Hammergren, astronomer at the Adler Planetarium, to explain this to us. And so the Cassini probe, after, 20 years in space, right, Mark?
Hi, happy to be here.
Thank you very much, sir. So after 20 years in space, is now met its ignominious but planned end by plunging at Saturn at at intense speeds and basically burning up in the atmosphere there, right?
Yeah, so this was all planned. Do we have to keep that in mind? The Cassini spacecraft was running out of fuel. And while it could have kept orbiting Saturn, we couldn't alter its trajectory. And so they needed to make sure it wasn't going to crash into one of the moons of Saturn and potentially contaminate the surface. So they did the next best thing, then just keeping it operating, they sent it into Saturn itself.
They say it's the only spacecraft to ever orbit Saturn, and it was such an exciting project in terms of the data and the imagery it was able to get to us. Talk about the scientific side of things, what you've been excited about as you see it.
Well, there are a tremendous number of highlights. I'll just mention a few. One of them has a potential staggering impact going forward in the future. Cassini discovered geysers of water vapor and ice coming off of the South Pole region of its moon Enceladus, and that indicates that it's got a subsurface ocean of liquid water. Now, any place on Earth we find water and we find any kind of energy source, we find life. So that raises the possibility of life below the surface of Enceladus.
Oh, boy.
Huh.
Yeah. Microbial life, almost certainly. We don't see any signs of advanced life. But because the geysers are there naturally, it's a natural transport for any of this material from the subsurface out into space. We don't have to mine below the surface. We don't have to dig there. We just have to fly by and catch the stuff.
Oh, that's very interesting.
I
want to get to the Huygens part of this, which to me is the greatest contribution of this particular space exploration, the Cassini project. But go back to that contamination of the moons, because I'm fascinated by that. We sent it down towards Saturn because it's going to burn up in the atmosphere, right, of Saturn?
Right.
So that way it would not contaminate anything. If it were to crash into a moon, it potentially could contaminate. What is the concern there in terms of contamination?
NASA refers to this as planetary protection. It goes both ways. It's about making sure that we don't unintentionally contaminate other planet surfaces, Mars, or these moons of Saturn, with things like microbes or maybe prebiotic material, things that would, at worst, maybe compete with and obscure any life that might exist at these places.
Mm-hmm. So the idea that it would burn up and that's again one of the essential truths of thermodynamics, right? That it would nothing would be able to survive that, we think.
The impact speeds in Saturn's atmosphere were so high, somewhere around maybe 80,000 miles an hour, faster than most meteors that come into Earth's atmosphere, anything would have been vaporized. The temperature's over 10,000 degrees. Yeah.
Let's talk about this, Huygens, because this to me, now what Cassini did is it took off.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was like 15, I think. Was it 1997?
Well, I think, was Bill Clinton president then? Because he's been tweeting a lot about it.
Yes. Yes, he was. And by the way, when they launched the Cassini, it was a good time to him to talk about something else, as
he's
seem to recall, 1997.
Over here we have.
You know what? I have no
here.
Idea what's going on. What? Hold on.
Let's talk about space again.
So it took off, and then it along with it was a second probe that the Cassini launched. And we made, now this is one of these things that I think needs to be addressed. The Huygens probe landed a beautiful pre-point landing on one of the moons of Saturn, right?
Yep. It made a perfect landing, returned incredible information about Titan, largest moon of Saturn, only moon in our solar system with a substantial atmosphere, larger than the planet Mercury itself.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
What about the rings, Dr. Mark? Did we learn anything about the rings that have fascinated us all?
I mean, is there... the rings are certainly Saturn's showcase items. And we have been able to see them up close and in detail that we absolutely can't get from ground-based telescopes here on Earth, or even the space telescope. That allowed us to see intricate structures sculpted in the rings by the gravity of moons nearby and embedded inside the rings. We've seen moons forming inside the rings of Saturn, tiny moons, maybe a few hundred feet across to miles across. Mm. And that's
large
natural...
structures are inside those rings, is what you're telling us.
Yeah, so clumps of material forming and dissipating, and some of them may represent solid chunks of ice the size of small mountains.
Wow. Oh my gosh!
Right,
these
are the size of the Rocky Mountains. There are structures in there that are moving, and you know, you stop and you think about just the enormity of this, and it is so far away, and we think of it in like human size, mm-hmm. you know, as we compare, but
well,
this is something else.
That's the thing about Saturn's rings. Although they stretch across hundreds of thousands of miles in extent, they're only about 30 feet thick. So that's a human scale. You know, the rings are thinner than most houses.
Wow. I didn't even think of it that way. But obviously, the spectrally, as you know, as light goes through them and we see them, you know, the way that we can observe these things, mm-hmm. it's pretty wild. And I gotta go back to Huygens because we landed... We, you know, the human beings have landed an item on a moon of Saturn, you know, perfectly landed. It took all kinds of, you know, again, you're looking at all this telemetry data about what's happening on the moon. And you know, part of this, obviously, I think for humans is the dream of, you know, habitability of places and how can we assess that and what do we find when we get there? And you know, Titan, as you point out, is such a gigantic, you know, it's a big space and it does have an atmosphere and all that. So it gives mm-hmm. us hope that one day maybe, you know, not there, but somewhere else we'll be able to hopscotch. And because we may have to get off here sooner than we know. I don't know. I don't know, Doctor, if you look at the headlines.
Pay
but anyway,
attention.
Separate issue. I don't want to freak anybody out. But the point is that we were able to do that. And to me, that goes down. I mean, you know, it's pretty cool that we've been able to land stuff on Mars. And I thought the thing with Matt Damon, you know, I thought he was great in getting off like that. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. But I mean, but in reality, the ability to land on another moon of another planet mm-hmm. is does it get bigger
boggles
than that?
Mine.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, a soft landing which allowed it to make just unprecedented, unique observations from the surface of that moon, showing us landforms, rivers, oceans, lakes, and boulders, rounded boulders that must be on a floodplain, which means there's weather there. But
wow.
Not rain, not water rain, but rain of liquid methane and ethane. It's a strange, strange moon.
Yeah, it's not a place that we really want to hang out. It would not be a good like 3-day weekend. But it is certainly just an amazing accomplishment. And what does that tell us about the development of the universe? I mean, obviously we're learning something from that. We can't see that in real time. We didn't do any of that sort of spectral stuff, which we could go back and do, I'm assuming now. It would take 20 years, but we could do it, or 8 years, I guess, to get there. But what is what do you think the greatest discovery from that moon is?
I think it would be just the intricate nature of its geography, the fact that we have liquid oceans that exist no place else other than Earth out there. It probably has a liquid water subsurface ocean as well, which again raises the possibility of life. So this is a world that can be explored in many ways. In the future, we can have balloons in the atmosphere or flying aircraft in the atmosphere of Titan. We can have boats on the surface or subs on the below the surface of its oceans. So it really opens a lot of possibilities for exploration.
And speaking of other possibilities for exploration, what would be planned next? I mean, considering this particular series of experiments is over, what does NASA have planned next?
Well, unfortunately, regarding Saturn, there are no plans. There are proposals for future missions, but none of them have been selected to go forward just yet. So anything that's capable of going to Saturn and making these kinds of observations would be, gosh, it's going to be at least a decade away and almost another decade before it would get to Saturn and rendezvous. So it's a long ways off.
There were stories about how this particular Cassini almost didn't happen because of the cost and the expenses tied to it, that it took some time getting approved, and the budget was $2.5 billion or something like that. But you think about what it's done.
So one of the last of the real flagship missions, the missions of great exploration by NASA, the rest have been smaller and more targeted.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
when it was launched, and now that it has come to an end. And again, the amount of data that has been retrieved by this before it dove into Saturn, what we've learned about Saturn, what we've learned about Titan, what we've learned about the other moons around Saturn. This changes it confirms a lot of theories, right? But it also changes our perspective on what it is that that is out there. More importantly, we're now looking at 20-year-old technology that was able to do something amazing by soft landing on a celestial body on this moon. And that's 20 years ago. So all the things that we have learned now, and that, remember, that was planned and engineered 20 years ago. And now imagine what we can do moving forward. That's why Cassini, and that, people are kind of reading about it and they think, it's another space probe. What do we care about? It's really probably the most important effort that we have put forward. I mean, obviously the Mars attempts and things like that have been gigantic.
International Space Station, of course, big.
Right, but I think this, in terms of moving to other, not moving, but getting, this is the best, furthest thing we have done in terms of our math so far. Would you agree with that, Doctor?
Well, there were some claims, and I think they're quite true, that there were more maneuvers, more encounters for this Cassini mission, so rendezvousing with other moons and so on, than in all of the other planetary missions combined. So the homework that the engineers had to do, that the scientists had to do planning the orbits, was more extensive for this one Cassini mission than for every other mission that NASA has accomplished.
Yeah, that's
people want to see these images. What's the best place do you suggest to go look at some of the amazing things that Cassini was able to, the data and the imagery?
That's a wonderful question. And Cassini returned hundreds of thousands. So the question really is, what are some of the best ones there?
Best ones.
There have been some wonderful review articles out there. I know the New York Times had, they selected something like 100 images of Cassini's best images. And there are some remarkable ones out there.
Oh, I bet. Right. I've seen some of them. It's
Doctor,
amazing.
Very excited. It's an exciting time over at the Adler, I got to tell you that.
Yeah.
it seems like every week there's another something going on that we find out. And
keep your number close.
Yeah, some guy with a telescope finds something. Another guy waving at him from 10 light years away. Hey, what are you doing? And then they got
the eclipse.
You got the, there's things. It's very exciting. All right, Doctor, appreciate your time, sir.
My pleasure. Nice speaking with you today.
Thanks,
Mark
Dr.
Hammergren
Mark.
From the Adler Planetarium. Violetta Powder Medic from the WGN Radio.